Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Pernacki and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. We're coming off a game last night that was pretty terrible. The first half was atrocious. The only player that played well on the team was LaMelo, who I thought had an overall very good game. In the second half, we were trailing by like 20 to 10 points the whole time, but Miles and Terry picked it up. Miles ended up with 30 points. But it was a little bit too late, Tim. The game was never really close. It's a disappointing loss to the Nets because we need to try to get the 8th seed to make the playoffs. If we're the 9th seed, we will need to win 2 games in a row in the play-in tournament to make the postseason. And if we're the 8th seed, we only need to win 1 of 2 games. Obviously, that's a massive difference. We play the Nets again in April with a chance to get the head-to-head tiebreaker then. But it's possible they're just on a roll and the standings aren't that close by then. We really need this win, so it's a tough break.
Yeah, the Nets definitely came out and just smacked us around. They clearly knew that, you know, people have been talking, oh, man, they're going to be in the play-in. Didn't really look like it last night. They looked amazing. Beat us down even when Durant was not in the game. The first half was probably the worst half of basketball we played this year. I'll have to look back through all of our games, just, you know, really sloppy, more assists than we had, or more turnovers than we had assists, especially like last 5 minutes, just throwing the ball away, looking dejected. We only lost by 10 points at the end, but I mean, it was really like a 25 point game.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So Kyrie Irving, 50 points. I have to say that's the best individual performance against us all season. One of the best individual performances in the NBA the whole season. He did it on only 19 shots, which is mind-boggling. He had a true shooting percentage of 105%. Like, I knew that it was possible to be over 100, but I basically have never heard of somebody doing that. So incredibly efficient for him. And I think there's a stat that that's the first time anybody's had a 50-point game, a 50-point game or more, while shooting with that high of a true shooting percentage. Again, only 19 shots, 50 points. Crazy night from Kyrie.
Yeah, and, you know, in typical Kyrie fashion, I mean, there were some open threes, but for the most part, those were all pretty tough looks. He was getting to the line, really just murdering people in the mid-range. For instance, DeMar DeRozan destroyed us about a month ago. He had 19 shots and 36 points, which at the time I was like, man, that is just a great scoring game. And then Kyrie does that with an extra 14 points and made it just look so easy.
Yeah, some might say that he's better than Trae Young.
Are you going back to this now?
Okay. All right, so me and Tim have prepared the other top performances against us this season, just to kind of compare. And you already mentioned DeMar DeRozan. Joel Embiid on December 6th had 43, 15, and 7 on 75% shooting. Giannis on December 1st had 40 points, 12, and 9. Hit the game winner after LaMelo hit a game-tying three. Karl-Anthony Towns more recently just kind of went off from three and had 39 points and 15 rebounds in that OT loss right before the All-Star break. And then I got a random one in there. Kyle Kuzma randomly went off against us for 36 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 assists on January 3rd in a loss against the Wizards. But Kyrie takes the, you know, takes the winning prize there with 50 points.
Yeah, I have Kyrie number one as well. I also had that Joel Embiid game where he essentially just fouled out our entire front court.
Yeah.
Really ugly game, but yeah, definitely dominated us. I have Giannis for just MVP against us this year. He's averaging 34 minutes a game, and in that, he's putting up 34 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists on 60% shooting. And we still own the Bucks. I have Jason Tatum's 41. On October 25th, the game that Mark and I attended, kind of got lost in the shuffle because then they struggled other than that. But Tatum was just dicing us up all night. And I have Jared Allen, actually the November 1st game, not the big game in February. He had 24 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks. And he had 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 block in the first quarter alone on 7 of 8 shooting. I mean, I just remember watching that first quarter and just – I was almost scared. I mean, he was just dominating us. So I have Jared Allen in there as well. It's just someone I hate when we play.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprised we don't have more overlap there. But those are some those were some good games against us.
I have a bonus one here too. This is Kelly Oubre for the Lakers. This is November 8th. He was minus 24 in a game we lost by 3. He played 17 minutes, had 15 shooting possessions, and produced 8 points.
So that's just a random stat there? What is that?
That was just someone destroying our team from the inside.
I like it. I like it. Top performances against us this year go to other players and Kelly Oubre in one game. All right, so the Spurs game, that game was fun to be at. I had probably the best seats I've ever had at a Hornets game. I was in the 8th row right center court, and I took my mom since it was her birthday on Sunday. It was probably my mom's like first live sporting event or like first basketball game in like a decade. So she has not been to a Hornets game in years. So I want to give you guys some of her takes from the Hornets game. Not a direct quote, but the hive is lit, Tim. The last time she was at a Hornets game was probably in the 90s. The vibe was way closer to a Hornets game than a Bobcats game. If you haven't been to a home game in the last 2 years, I highly recommend it. Even if you don't like basketball, my mom definitely had a very good time. In her other take, Trez and Melo, very good chemistry. I thought it was cool that she was able to like point that out despite not knowing much about basketball. Melo finally has a good pick and roll partner at the center position, and it's obvious that that signing was helpful offensively. One more note from the game, Tim. I saw Mitch Kupchak. Me and my mom were at a bar or at the bar getting a drink, and Mitch Kupchak just walked right past us, and I was like, "What's up, Mitch?" And he didn't acknowledge me, but still, it was pretty cool.
Was Mitch going to the bar to pound some drinks?
I think he was just walking around. He was probably getting out of his seat, maybe going to use the restroom or something. I don't really know. But yeah, he just walked right past us. And I was like, dang, these are good seats.
I guess it's kind of a no-no. I guess if you're a GM, you don't really, it's like drinking on the job.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not recommended.
Probably frowned upon.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Outside of that, I'd like to contribute that Keldon Johnson and DeJounte Murray are very good basketball players. And it was disappointing that Miles Bridges had an off night on my mom's first Hornets game in a while. He only had 10 points, and I don't think he had a dunk. So she didn't quite get the full, like, new look Hornets experience. But it was a good win. The first win we've had in the clutch since beating the Lakers in late January. We've been blowing close games as of late, so it was cool to finally win a close game.
Yeah, I'm also going to say DeJounte Murray, my favorite non-Hornets player to watch in the league.
In the whole league.
In the whole, yeah, he's just, because no one plays like DeJounte Murray. Mm. Like, you know, Luka, Harden, there's some overlap. You know, Giannis kind of one of a kind, but not, you know, like, obviously Giannis is a good time. But yeah, DeJounte, he is just a blast. Kind of like, he's athletic, not as athletic as Westbrook, but kind of reminds me of, like, if Westbrook, like, young Westbrook could play in control and actually cared about defense. DeJounte is awesome. Yet again, just dreaming about somehow getting him and LaMelo on the same teams, preferably the Hornets.
Yeah, yeah, LaMelo with the in-between-the-legs alley-oop to DeJounte in the All-Star game. I'm sure a lot of you have seen that clip before. Also, probably the last time I'll see Greg Popovich. I mean, maybe also one of the first times I've seen Greg Popovich, but it was cool. It was cool to see him in person, and probably one of the last games he'll coach against the Hornets, if not the last game.
Yeah, you had definitely a better viewing experience of his coaching performance than the Duke fans did of Coach K.
Yeah, are we anti-Duke on this podcast?
Actually, I'm like more of a Duke fan than a UNC fan. Not a college basketball fan, really, one way or the other, but always root for Duke. But just a hater in me really enjoys the concept of grown men crying in a basketball game.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that. All right, Tim, you have some team stats for us for the past couple months. Go ahead and break it down.
Yeah, these are our stats since February 8th. We are 14th on defense, 16th on offense. One thing that I've noticed with our defense, looking at the stats, opponents are only shooting 73% at the line against us, which is the fifth lowest in the league. So that might be skewing things a little bit. One thing we have cut down on for most of the season, we've been at around like 40 three-point attempts against us. We've cut that down to 34 over the last month, which I do think is good for our defense. But one thing with Big Jim, we have the exact same defensive rating as last year, 112.8. In Big Jim's 4 years, we have been between 112.5 and 113.5, going for 22nd, 24th, 18th, and 22nd on defense. Mm. So not exactly a defensive stalwart, And on the other end, we're fourth in three-point attempts, but only 20th in percentage. So we're getting the shots up, not really hitting them, but, you know, that'll come around.
Yeah. All right, cool. Question from Carson on Instagram. What do you guys think is the future for this team? He says, obviously LaMelo, but I seriously doubt we ever surround him with a serious star in Charlotte ever. I'm pretty confident we won't make the playoffs this year, seeing how I don't think we can stay ahead of the Nets, and I don't trust us to win two games in a row. So, from longtime fans, what realistically is going to happen with this team? I like this question a lot from Carson, but let me just say, to reassure him, I still think the future outlook is pretty bright. I mean, if you think about what we were saying 2 years ago, it's a stark contrast. Like, we are way better off than before we drafted LaMelo.
Devontae Graham is definitely a starting point guard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? So that's where we were 2 years ago. Now it's much, much brighter. And when you look at star players, it takes them a while to become truly winning players in the NBA. And there's a history of young point guards making a third-year leap. If you look at what Ja's doing this season, he's been incredible. And you look at Trae Young last season, taking the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals, both in their third year. So I think if it's like the fourth year of the Melo experience and we were a playing team, then we would have cause for concern. But dude is only 20 years old. We still have a very bright future. And I think it's too early to like raise the alarm bells, Hornets fans.
Yeah. And I'm going to double down on that. Third year is like a huge year for guards, and between, you know, age 21, 22, which we're looking at for LaMelo, an extended list from that. Derrick Rose won MVP in his third season. Chris Paul went from an all-star to third in MVP voting his third year, led the league in assists and steals. Kobe became a full-time starter and averaged 20 points a game for the first time in his career. James Harden won Sixth Man of the Year. Tracy McGrady started to become Tracy McGrady. Westbrook made his first all-star team and started averaging over 20. Dwayne Wade won the NBA Finals MVP. Walt Frazier went from, you know, a backup guard to an all-star and fourth in MVP voting in 1970. Even on the lower end, Andre Miller led the league in assists in his third year after never averaging more than 8. Baron Davis made his first all-star game, and Stephon Marbury averaged 20 for the first time. I'm not saying he's going to be better than all those guys, but he's going to be better than all those guys. So we got to look out for a big third-year jump.
Yep. Yep. And obviously, like, it seems kind of random. Like, why would they get better in the third year? But that just seems to be when guards really pick it up after 2 years playing in the league. So, yeah, I think it's too early to be alarmed. You know, this season has been disappointing, I would say, for the most part. Like, if we had 5 more wins, that'd be more where I want us to be. But I also think it's too early to say we won't pair him with another star, which Carson said. Players around the league will want to play with LaMelo. Charlotte really could be in the mix for a big offseason signing in the next couple of seasons. Something we can never say in the past. Like, nobody wanted to come here a couple of years ago. Nobody really wanted to come here when we had Kemba either. So the big thing this offseason is we have to re-sign Miles Bridges. If we don't do that, things will be a little depressing. But for now, I'm still, you know, bright future Charlotte. That's my outlook.
Yeah, I would say one thing that would be nice, you're talking about attracting free agents. Maybe if we didn't stretch Nicholas Batum just to overpay Gordon Hayward, we'd have some more cap space. Because right now we're paying Nicholas Batum $8.8 million this year and next season just to be a starter on another team, which hurts. So that's really eating up a lot of our cap space. Luckily, Miles is a restricted free agent this year. So I would give him like a 95% chance of coming back.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if we let him walk for nothing. Be a pretty terrible move. So yeah, do we want to get into some over-unders for how long these guys will be in Charlotte?
Yeah, so to put this into perspective, we have tried to guess the number of seasons that we think players will be on our roster with the team past this season. So, Tim, we're bringing back an old segment. It's time for Liquor Mark's Degenerate Gambling Corner. Tim's going to say the number of years he thinks a player will be with the team, and I'm going to go over or under, and I'm gonna gamble on it with myself. So here we go.
All right, so let's start with Miles.
Okay.
Do we think he's going to be here over under 3.5 more seasons?
Oof. That's right around the number I would put it at, but I'm going to go with over. because the extension he's going to get is going to be a 3+1. And I could see him being here for the remainder of that contract. And yeah, I'm going to go over. I'm going to think positively. I'm going to put some positive vibes out into the atmosphere and hope that Miles Bridges is here for at least 4 more seasons.
I'll take the over on that as well, unless he wants to continue missing every 3-point shot.
Yeah.
We're looking at he's been shooting like Josh Smith lately. So.
Yeah, also in that Nets game, it was pretty depressing when they put DeAndre Jordan on him and he just was wide open from three and he wasn't taking it. I think that's like, it's like a mental block at this point. But hopefully he'll get out of that shooting slump. I can see it.
Yeah, I don't think he's this bad of a shooter. I pray. Next guy up, over under 4.5 more years for LaMelo Ball.
Also going to take the over. Again, putting positive vibes out into the atmosphere here. You know, I would say people who aren't Charlotte fans would maybe take the under and say he's going to go play for the Lakers or something like that. But, you know, he's going to be here for at least 2 more seasons with his rookie deal. And we're going to re-sign him to the max. And we're going to have him for the next at least 6 seasons, Tim. That's my take.
Thanks. So that will be if Miles and LaMelo play together for that long, they'd be like the longest tenured teammates outside of the Golden State guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we could build that in Charlotte. Like everything LaMelo said is that he wants to play in Charlotte. He wants to stay in Charlotte. There's that clip of him talking to Jay-Z from the beginning of the season. And he's like, nah, I'm in Charlotte. Like, I'm going to stay in Charlotte. So I think he likes it here. And obviously things change, but yeah, obviously just hoping that he's going to stay here for more than that time.
Yeah. The inconvenient truth of that is also 5 years from now, assuming like 5 trade deadlines from now, could also be trading him. Mm. If he's made it clear he's not going to resign.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So then I have Kelly Oubre, over under next trade deadline.
I'll take the over. I'm going over on all these players so far, but so you're saying like a half season, basically. I'll say he'll stay through his contract, which expires next offseason. I'll say that. If it were one season, I would have to just like not gamble on it. If you had it at the full 1 year, then I would just be like, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. Yeah. It's a push, but I think I'll stay through the trade deadline.
Get him out of town. He's going to be gone by next trade deadline. Book it.
You think under?
Yeah, I'm going under.
Okay. Okay.
Mason Plumlee, also next trade deadline.
Under. Hard under.
Yeah, only half of his contract is guaranteed for next year. I guess actually a little under half. Yeah, I think it's like 4.6 mm-hmm. million. So, yeah, I have a feeling that he'll probably be our starting center next season because that just seems like the type of things the Hornets would do. I hope that's not the case, though.
Yeah, I'm voting with my heart here when taking the under. I hope he gets traded this offseason. We get a better center.
Yeah, I think it's also, it will really say a lot about what we think about JT Thor, Kai Jones,
yeah.
Richards.
Yeah, agreed.
How far they are. PJ Washington, next player on the board, over under 2 years.
I'm going to go under. So his deal expires next offseason. It's possible it's a Malik Monk situation where we don't re-sign him. And also, I think he's a trade deadline kind of target for next year where we might be shopping him around at the trade deadline. This offseason, even we could be shopping him around for a trade. I'm going to go under just because I feel like that's what's going to happen. I think 2 years is too much. I feel like he's going to be off the team by then.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if we do decide to trade PJ. Like, what do you trade PJ for? Like, you know, preferably a veteran, but like, do you go more offense? Do you go more defense?
Yeah.
Would you do a draft pick? Like, would you just trade him for the 13th pick and pretty much just run it back? Like, that'll be a big moment for our team whenever we decide what to do with PJ. With Miles about to get paid, then PJ is the next guy up. So you always wonder because you can't pay everyone, and PJ does seem pretty clearly to be the odd man out.
I agree. Yep.
All right. Next up on the board, Gordy Hayward at 1.5 seasons. Do you think he's going to play out his contract?
I'm going to go the under as well. So maybe a Gordon and PJ trade together for Miles Turner next year. That's probably not actually going to happen, but I'm going to take the under just thinking that we're going to move him before his fourth season. I think he might play out the entire year next year, but before that fourth year of the contract, I think he's going to get moved.
Yeah. Thinking about this and how long, really looking forward to what we do in the draft, because we're set at most positions in theory. So like, I think that'll be like a big writing on the wall moment. If we end up taking another power forward, not a good sign for old PJ Washington.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, hopefully, and if we take a center, it's just like, what have we been doing the past two drafts, drafting all these centers and not developing them?
Not only do we have potentially two picks in the first round, we also have two picks in the second round as well.
Nice.
So that could factor into this. Terry Rozier, over under 2 years.
Over.
Yeah.
He signed for the next 4 years. So I'm going to go over. I think he stays with us. He's a pretty solid part of the Hornets core at this point. And it's not like he's as old as Gordy. So, you know, he's still in his prime. I'm going to take the over there.
I can see that. Yeah. I think so. After this season, 4 years, three of them guaranteed. Last year, only partially guaranteed. So not too daunting, especially with a guy that can shoot as well as Terry. Could see that. I have a crazy, crazy trade.
Okay.
That I don't think will happen. But you know who Miles Bridges is rep by?
Clutch.
So there's been some Anthony Davis talk.
Ooh.
What if we send back another Clutch client? Sign and trade. Miles Bridges, Terry Rozier, a first round pick, Anthony Davis.
Would you want that?
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony Davis gets hurt every year, but.
Ah, who cares, man? He's Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, hope that doesn't happen. I want Miles to play out his career in Charlotte, dude. I want the hometown heroes, LaMelo and Miles, to stick with us. But yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard that being floated around by any big name people, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, you know, me and Book Knight, we're very close after that one time we met. So, you know, we swapped texts. And actually, next on the board, my man, James Book Knight, over under 2.5 years.
All right, I'm going to take the under. I hope that it works out for Book Knight here in Charlotte. He's signed for 3 more years. And again, I hope it works out for him in Charlotte. But things have not gone well so far. So I got to take the under. Like, when you think about other Hornets rookies, like Noah Vonleh was moved after a single season after his rookie year. That's not out of the question this offseason for Book Knight, because things have just not panned out in his rookie season. And I don't know. I don't know what the team thinks of him and his involvement with our future.
Whew. Man, the Noah Vonleh comp, that is tough. Imagine telling yourself that when we drafted him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we thought we got an A+ grade for the draft. And it has not panned out like that so far. The like best player from our rookies is JT Thor, which is not great. But again, I hope it works out for him. I want him to be good. I want him to get playing time.
We know. It's not like we could have used a guy like Moses Moody. No one on this podcast was championing for Moses Moody, who had 30 points the other day.
And did he really? Like,
yes.
I missed that. Damn. I missed
yes,
that.
Yes, Moses Moody has been getting minutes in Golden State, and all the vets are just going crazy over him. It's clear that guy is just, use my own cheesy phrase, he's going to be in the league for like 10 years. He's got good size, he can shoot. But yeah, we have Book Knight. I'm gonna take the under. I'm starting to kind of go out on Book Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of red flags.
I agree. We'll see how the rest of the year pans out for him if he gets any playing time.
All right, so I also have for the next guy 2.5 years, and that would be one Kai Jones.
I'm going to take the over on Kai. I think things have gone more smoothly with him, even though he hasn't gotten playing time. I think that there's been not as many red flags, and you can kind of just expect players to play out their rookie deal with the team that drafted them for the most part. So I'm going to take the over and just say he's going to stay here for his whole rookie contract.
I like that. I'm going to go with that as well, because you draft Kai Jones knowing he's a project.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think Kupchak is surprised by, you know, his playing time this year. Yeah. So I'm giving him the 2.5. One thing I meant to bring up with the Melo section, you know what? It just like irritates me when people say you know, big men, they take a long time to develop. That's just not true. Like, it's, I don't know, like, the assumption is guards come right into the league and are good. Like, if a big man is not good after, like, his second or third year, they're just not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. People do say that a lot, but it's true. It's true equally with guards.
Yeah. If anything, yeah, like, you know, a young big man, you look, most big men have, like, their best rebounding season in, like, their fourth, fifth year. Like, it's pretty early on in their career. It's not like once a big gets, you know, he turns 32, now he's really in his second prime. Like, that never happens.
Yeah. All right, you got JT Thor next?
JT Thor is over under 2 years because he is a second round pick. So he does not have the same 3-year contract structure as a first round pick.
I'll go with over. Things have been pretty good with JT so far. So I'll take the over there.
JT Thor is going to be our longest tenured player because he's going to be our best player. So I'm going over as well. Now let's go to Cody Martin, over under one more season. He is a restricted free agent for us this offseason.
I'll just go with a push. I'm not gambling on that one. I think 1 year is exactly right for Cody Martin.
Okay, and then Jalen McDaniels, over under 2 years. He has a team option coming up, and then will be an unrestricted free agent.
I'll go with under, I think. I think the more proper line for him would be one season, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, that is fair. Over under Nick Richards being on the team next season.
Under. I think we're going to move on from Nick Richards. I think we're going to try to explore what we have in Kai Jones, explore what we have in, JT Thor, and move Nick Richards. He's not going to get re-signed this offseason, I think.
All right, book it. Montrezl Harrell, over under 50% chance we'd re-sign him.
Under. I think that he's not going to be with the team next year. I'd like to see him back, probably, but he'll probably get a better deal from another team.
Yeah, right now we have, before we sign Miles and Cody, we have about like $9 million in cap space. The mid-level exception is around $6 million per year on average. So, yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at and then filling around. But we have a lot of players under contract. And, you know, with potentially four picks coming this year, got to make way. And our last guy, Isaiah Thomas, over under 3.5 more days.
I'm going to have to take the under. Last podcast, we talked about Isaiah Thomas a lot, thanks to me. I was the one who spearheaded that discussion.
Grant Riller 2.0.
Yeah, he has not played with us since that first game. And in a press conference, he was talking about how he wishes he could make a return to the Celtics. Not exactly a good sign when we play the Celtics tonight. And yeah, I just don't think he's going to be a part of the team past this 10-day contract. I'd like to see him stay, but he hasn't gotten run in the past two games. So I have to go with what my eyes are telling me.
Yeah, I don't see Isaiah Thomas finishing out the season. And, like, you know, I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas. You know, yeah. He did play with a hurt hip. He was awesome for, like, 3-4 years. But, man, he just comes off as just, like, kind of like a whiny, like, emo teenager. He's like, oh, man, like, people aren't nice to me in the NBA. It's so not fair. Like, Boston did me so wrong. It's like, everyone gets done wrong, man. I'm sorry. But, like, he just always comes out publicly about, oh, man, I should be on a team right now, this and that. It's like, you know, it's just a reality, man. There's not a conspiracy against you, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think it's cool to see a player be, like, so candid in interviews, because a lot of players just, like, put on a face and just, like, lie in interviews. So I do think it's cool that he, like, opens up in the press conferences. And, I mean, he's just speaking from his heart. He wants to make a return to the Celtics. So I like that about him, but he does do it too much. I agree.
All right. Well, yeah, that is our players over unders. I have one question about next year for us.
Okay.
So I'm going to list off some teams. And which of these teams do you think will definitely be better than next year?
Okay.
The Chicago Bulls.
I think we're probably worse than the Bulls.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Worse.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Worse.
The Miami Heat.
Worse.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Worse.
The Atlanta Hawks.
Better.
Better than
them right now. We'll be better than them next season. Book it.
Book it. The Toronto Raptors.
Better than them. So this one's a little controversial, but I don't really understand why the Toronto Raptors are higher than us in the standings right now. Obviously, I can count their wins and our wins and see that we're below them. But like just roster makeup, I think we're better than them. Maybe they have a better coach and Nick Nurse. They definitely have a better coach than Nick Nurse. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Every time I see them above us in the standings, it kind of pisses me off. And I look at the standings every day. So I get angry at least once a day. I don't really get it.
I mean, I think that, you know, they have a top three coach in the league. They have Fred VanVleet, who by any advanced metric has been better than LaMelo this year. Pascal Siakam, better than Miles Bridges this year. When he's been healthy, OG Anunoby's good. Scotty Barnes, you know, top three in rookie of the year. Gary Trent Jr. has been better than Terry Rozier this year.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe.
It's pretty close.
Okay, we'll table it for later.
Yeah, table that one. But yeah, I think the Raps are good, and they just never miss on a first-round pick. So whoever they're going to get next year, you know, is going to be a rotation player. Yeah, so I think I wouldn't say we'll definitely be better than the Raps.
I do think, I think we'll be better than them next year. LaMelo's taking the third-year leap. He's going to average 26 points per game next year. So a little bit of bias there, obviously. But I think that one's, like, pretty close, 50-50-ish.
Yeah, I would say the Hawks, Raps, and this next team, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Better than them. Better than them, for sure.
You are so down on the Cavs.
I am very down on the Cavs. I just look at their roster. Yeah, I mean, I guess Jared Allen's pretty good. I guess Darius Garland's pretty good. I guess Evan Mobley's pretty good. Yeah, all right. I they're Cleveland, bro. They can't be that good.
Yeah, I think the Cavs will arguably be better next year. I think they're really good. I like watching the Cavs. And then two wildcard teams that if these teams are better than us next year, we are in a dark, dark place. That would be the Washington Wizards.
Okay. Definitely we're going to be better than them, but who's the other one?
And the Detroit Pistons. These are two teams I have that I hope do not get Chet Holmgren.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're big on the Chet train. You're very high on Chet Holmgren.
That's my man.
Yeah. I think we'll be better than both of them. Obviously things happen. Teams get better. But the Wizards are pretty depressing. The Pistons like have an off chance of being better than us next year. I think the Pistons have more of a chance than the Wizards,
Wizards have a healthy Bradley Beal, Kristaps playing 70% of the games, and they get a top five pick.
Yeah, they'll be 500.
That's fair. Yeah. So just kind of laying out. So we had the Bulls, Sixers, Bucks, Heat, and Nets as clearly better than the Hornets next year. So
you also forgot about the Celtics, who are
probably the Celtics would also be in that tier. So six teams that we have automatically
probably better than us.
It'd be very surprising if we were better. The Bulls are the one team I could see, but even the Bulls this year have had really bad injury luck. So I mean, if they're healthy next year,
it'd
be tough to be better.
I mean, I think that if things break right for us, we could be better than a couple of them, but just like, reasonable expectations. I would have those six teams with like a higher preseason win total than the Hornets for sure. But like, I mean, things happen and I'd actually say that it's likely that one or two of those teams are worse than us just by random shit happening.
Yeah. That's fair. But we also don't have the Cavs in that group or the Raptors.
Yep. Yeah. Same standings as this year.
Yeah. So, East is not getting any easier. Very depressing.
Yeah. The East is definitely better than the West at this point.
Shitty, man? Like, you know, the first year we're actually good.
Yep. Yeah. The East is taking a step up for sure. All right. You have some half-hearted takes for us. So this is just going to be a couple random NBA things, I think. Some takes that you have that you're not all the way in on, but that you kind of believe. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah. They're takes that I really want to believe. But logic is kind of standing in the way of some of them. So one, I want it to be the 76ers year, kind of. Mainly because they have Harden, Doc Rivers, and even Embiid a little bit, who kind of choke in the playoffs. I think it'd be like an interesting thing. I like Daryl Morey, but then I think about them playing the Bucks or even the Celtics. And James Harden's a coward. So I can't get all the way there. That's why it's only only half-hearted.
I have one of my takes is that they're going to lose in the second round.
See, I think that's pretty likely.
Yeah, that's my – actually, it's just a full-hearted take. I think they're going to lose in the second round.
Yeah, if I had to bet on it, yeah, because I think that I'm not sold on Embiid in the playoffs. He's always tired, or you know, something's always happening. The spacing's always a little off, and it's not like James Harden, you know, is some great shape.
Yeah, and he's struggled in the postseason in the past. I could see a second round flame out and some issues in Philadelphia, despite them being very good recently.
Yeah, that would be great. Do you have one?
Yeah. So Kyrie Irving is still better than Trae Young.
He played like 8 games this year.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, so if we're talking about availability, he's definitely not as available as Trae Young. But Tim, as the second best player on the team, Kyrie Irving is better than Trae Young when he's not the main guy.
Yeah. I think Trae Young would be pretty good if he had Kevin Durant on his team as well. I think that's...
Would they be as good with Trae Young instead of Kyrie?
Yeah, because you would have played 30 more games.
Okay, but let's take away the vaccines. Let's take away the craziness.
You can't.
You can't. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. You can't take it away.
And even if he was healthy, Trae Young's a better point guard than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's essentially a shooting guard.
Yeah. I think that... Okay, like if the vaccine...
In 75% of situations, you'd rather have Trae Young.
Yeah. On the Nets, I'd rather have Kyrie Irving. That's my take.
I mean, they have Kyrie and they're like the 9th seed. They're the 8th seed. Like,
But they're going to make... I don't know why people are so low on them. I mean, we did just watch them have an incredible game, so maybe we're a little biased, but like, I still like them in the playoffs.
They'll have the worst big man rotation in the playoffs.
That's fair, but the rest of their team is stacked.
Is it?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Goran Dragic.
I love Goran, who, you know, one of my favorite players. I love Patty Mills, Spurs legend and everything. I forgot Blake Griffin was on their team. I saw him on the bench last night. Holy shit.
Seth Curry?
Yeah, like Seth Curry, Andre Drummond. Like, I don't know. That's not, you know, Nick Claxton. I don't see him having some, you know, 20 rebound game in the playoffs. I don't think their defense is good enough. Like, Bruce Brown was awesome against us last night. He looked like James Worthy. But no, I mean, I don't really see it. Like, I have him like below the Bucks and maybe the Sixers.
No, I'd have him above the Sixers. That goes in line with my take that they're going to lose in the second round. I have them solid second in the East, even though they're the 8th seed right now. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll have to see Ben Simmons will make an impact either positively or negatively. That'll factor in for sure.
Yeah, if he's somehow worse than their other front court players, that's really depressing.
Yep. Do you have any other ones?
I do. Miles Bridges will end up being a better and more important Hornet than Kemba Walker all time.
Whoa. I think I agree.
If you think he's going to, you know, be here for 6 years and he leads us to, you know, if we have an awesome Eastern Conference Finals run, he makes an All-Star game.
Yeah.
Then I would assume, you know, it's really not a high bar, sadly.
Kemba led us to, you know, a couple postseasons, but we didn't win a single playoff series. So if Miles makes us win a playoff series, him and LaMelo, then I think I agree. Going down in history, he'll be a slightly more important Hornet if he stays with us and does that.
Miles Bridges wouldn't have lost to an Hassan Whiteside-led team.
That's possibly true. It's possibly true.
This is my hottest take here. This is the heater, I believe. James Bouknight will never be as good as Anfernee Simons was this season.
Oof. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that one. No, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Anfernee Simons is very good this year. And based off the trajectory of James Bouknight, that's possibly true. I hope it's not true. It's probably true.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's not even like a big age gap there, like you would imagine, because Simons was drafted so young. But yeah, I mean, he's been averaging, you know, over the last month, 46%, 88 from the line, 5 threes a game, 25 points, 5 assists.
Yeah,
like, that is pretty good. And that's just also one of those things where you always get tantalized in draft time with guys that can like finish, you know, like create their own shots like that. But really, like, it's not like that high of an upside. Like, it seems like it is, but yeah, there's like Anfernee Simons, Jordan Clarkson, like they're not going to be Steph Curry. So like these scoring guards really are just not as valuable as I think they seem in like, you know, late May.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's dark. I don't know why you had to bring that one up, Tim. on the podcast, but it's probably true. I mean, 25 points per game is pretty crazy. And he's been balling out for the Trailblazers, keeping them like somewhat alive in the play-in race, which is crazy.
Keeping my fantasy team alive, more important.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how that last week of the fantasy regular season plays out, Tim. I'm going to beat you and make it to the playoffs.
Good luck.
All right. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our Winnow page for cool updates and to help support the podcast. Shout out to all the people who support the podcast: Xavier Harvin, Dan Joseph, Isaac Black, Aaron Barton, TC Cunningham, Austin Johnson, Rob McMillan, Brandon Garcia, and Caitlin Ferland. Shout out to all y'all. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much to all those people and anyone that took the time to listen to today's episode. We really appreciate it. Want to send in some of your half-hearted takes, throw them our way on Instagram or Twitter at Hornets Podcast.
Nice. And we have a big guest book for Friday. So look for that episode to drop Friday afternoon. A little teaser for you guys. All right, Tim, it's been real.
It's been real. Be safe out there, Liquor Mark.
Peace, bro.
Peace.